call the Senate Special Committee on the Arctic to order today. I'm here along with my co-chairwoman, Senator Kathy Geisel. And we also have Senator Lyman Hoffman, Senator Gary Stevens, Senator John Coghill. And in the room, we also have our special guest today, the sponsor of our one official agenda item, Representative Bob Herron, who has been my co-chair in the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission. And we are going to hear that, but first, we're going to welcome a video, a special video presentation. It's just 8 minutes. It's very short. This was produced by the Institute of the North?
In conjunction
with some others. It's called The Arctic, and it's produced for the Week of the Arctic. It took place this summer in Nome, Kotzebue, and Barrow. And so we'll go ahead and start it. We're going to dim the lights.
The Arctic. Desolate. Savage. Remote.
I think a lot of people don't understand the Arctic. They think of it as a cold place that is desolate. And really, our ecosystem is very alive.
Not too bad for caribou or polar bears, but no place for human beings.
For a lot of people, it's like this fantastical, unimaginable place on the edge of the Earth. So it is challenging to bring them out of that, you know, fantasy and that romanticized idea of what it might be and say, hey, I'm a person.
I guess I just want them here to see how important it is for all of us to preserve our culture. Like, I don't feel like there's any way that I can tell someone with words how important it is. They'd have to come here and see it and feel it. And they would. If they would just come and be present and just observe, they would just feel how strongly we feel about ourselves, about our culture, about our traditions. They would. And that's the only way to be.
Yeah. policies that came to these areas requiring people to live a certain way. We now time with having somebody make rules for us. And it has been happening ever since the United States fell.
I don't see us going back to dog sleds and bone arrows. But it's still a means that some folks use and some communities use, and God bless them. We've got enough danger and adversity that we face up here on a daily basis. We don't need to invite other elements that would make things even more dangerous for citizens.
Our people are just like anybody else, anybody anywhere else in the world. They need a way to gather resources and support, feed and support their loved ones, to provide their children with an education, an opportunity to maybe do a little better than they did in their generation. We're no different than that.
Education is really important, but to exist as an impact is very important.
The work of teaching critical thinking and the work of really teaching Alaska's history, which is remarkable, it deprives new generations of their own worth in the world and their own potential as free people.
And take a look at what resources and where are the resources coming from. Saying basically it's where the majority of the resources are coming from. And the benefits are really being elsewhere and we're going back to the regions.
As we go down this path of developing the Arctic, which is driven by forces really that are global in context, how can Alaska benefit? But from our standpoint, how can the people the Arctic, who live in the Arctic regions of the state, benefit in terms of quality of life?
I think weaning ourselves off of the boom and bust cycles and the long run much more important than getting just one more shot of fast money. You know, we have to kind of get beyond that.
We've been looking at renewable energy as one example. We've been looking at weatherization of our homes, thinking about resilience of our cultures. We know we need to get off diesel fuel. And what we're encouraging the federal government to do is not send in a whole troop of people to reinvent the wheel, but rather to look to our state agencies, to look to local and traditional knowledge, to the villages, to the corporations that are here, and the people that have already been on the ground looking at these things.
We try to hold ourselves in this, but because the government is in, we don't really get much to do or much to take action. So we try this to make sure that they respect our what we want. So if they respect what we want, we respect what they want. So that's how we try to cope with them.
It is important to meet halfway, to get our local expertise on things.
So I love that video. Nils will make that available to anybody that wants it. It's from the Institute of the North. And as I said, he made it in conjunction with others during the Week of the Arctic. He interviewed people who were traveling. Many of us were from Nome, Kotzebue, and Barrow. And the theme of it, as I've taken away, that I think is important as we talk to our federal counterparts. The most recent issue has been ANWR and the decision to lock up the coastal plain. Another decision was to come out with three priorities for the Arctic Council for the next 2 years that don't reflect what Alaskans have come forward with. We could point to other decisions, but the theme, if you heard the young people at the end, is we're meeting you, are you meeting us halfway? And I would love that for us to be a theme as all of us, as Alaskans in different capacities, here in the Senate Arctic Committee and us in other capacities. There were a group of people that went to Kotzebue, but the idea is that as Alaskans, we've listened to the federal government. We welcome the delegations that come. And so we're listening, but are you listening to us? It doesn't feel like that. In particular, Senator Giesel, you mentioned on the Senate floor in testimony on a resolution yesterday that there was specific testimony in Barrow. Edward Ida, who's in that video, and others have talked about the fact that ANWR is the one place that people would like to see drained, because elders know that there's been success in maintaining the caribou, the porcupine caribou herd, and there's been success in growing jobs, and there's been 40 years at least of really a proven history of balancing those two things. And we're not sure about the Chukchi and the Beaufort yet. It's more of a risk. So one thing, if you were listening, would be to say you wouldn't take that off the table yet because you'd want to listen. So what I like about that video is that you see the people throughout the state saying, please listen. So if anybody wants a copy of that, Niels will put it on a thumb drive for you. And we thank the Institute of the North overall for their work helping us in the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission. We couldn't have done it without them. So next I want to call up Representative Bob Herron. We're going to take up House Bill 1, an act declaring the Arctic policy of the state. This bill and its companion, Senate Bill 16, are the products of the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission's work over the last 2 years. I was proud to serve as the co-chair of the commission with Representative Bob Herron. I want to note that Senator Olson, and I also want to note that Senator Olson and Senator Bishop are here, have joined us, but Senator Olson, who's here, and Senator Stevens, and Senator Co-Chairwoman Giesel were also on the commission and worked really hard to help develop this proposal. And before we start, I'd like to ask Madam Co-Chair for a motion.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move the Senate CS for the CS for House Bill Number 1, Version 29LS0013/Sierra, as the working document.
Okay, is there any objection to that? Okay, so it is before us. Representative Herron, welcome.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Co-Chairs. For the record, Bob Herron from House District 38. That's communities on the Kuskokwim, the Yukon, and communities between those two rivers on the Bering Sea. Madam Co-Chairs, HB 1 is the Commission's other statutory responsibility was to deliver a bill that all 26 members on the Commission worked on. Of course, five senators and five representatives, and all five senators are here today on the committee. The report has three products, of course, the final report, the implementation plan, and the executive summary. HB 1, per the Commission's request, puts people first and will benefit the entire state, strengthens our position in the Arctic with the federal government and other Arctic nations, and will lead to economic benefit in our Arctic region. There, in the front section, section one, there's the eight findings. The one that's most important is Alaskans are Arctic experts. In the next section, in the codified section, is the bill declares the Arctic policy will uphold the state's commitment to economic vibrant communities by maintaining a healthy environment, collaborate with all appropriate entities to achieve transparency and inclusiveness in Arctic decision-making, enhance Alaska's security by strengthening Arctic safety, and that includes the list below section category, and then strengthen resilience of Arctic communities and integrate local knowledge. Four lines of effort in section two, promoting economic development, addressing the infrastructure gap in the Arctic, supporting healthy communities and strengthening our Arctic science and research. Madam Co-Chairs, that is the conclusion of my remarks, and welcome to ask any questions, and when appropriate, I'd like to make one comment on the CS.
Absolutely. Any questions for the sponsor of the bill? Senator Hoffman?
No.
Any questions from anyone else? Okay. Comment on the CS.
Yes. I support the CS, but I just want to make maybe a slight clarification.
Okay.
Is on page 4, lines 21, there was a deletion at the end of that sentence, and just so I can refer to it. Let's see here. Is that the CS has deleted resource management decision making.
Okay.
In my memory, and it may be inaccurate, is I thought the commission was, that its target was the federal government. Is recent events that was further amplified by the Secretary Jewell while leadership was in, the nine legislators were in Kotzebue, is we want them to, we told her, in my opinion, this is what I said, is the state is the local jurisdiction that you should include us in. There has been, there was some concern about that part of that sentence, but in the end, Madam Co-Chairs, I support the CS.
Any comment? Sense to me. Anything further? Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Representative Herron, as you look as a prime sponsor of what's going on down here, one of the things that has happened is that there's been a deletion related to the ratification of the law of the seas. I was wondering what your thoughts and comments were on that particular deletion.
Through the co-chairs, thank you, Senator Olson. Is in looking at it from a more broader view, sure, it wasn't unanimous support by the commission to include this. We had a healthy dialogue. Of course, there was a dialogue on the House floor as well. But in the end, it is an issue that's in front of the Senate. In the past, this legislature has considered it, and again, not unanimous. There has been support. But after looking at it and talking to others, it's sort of kind of out of place because we're talking about the Arctic policy. I agree that the Law of the Sea Treaty is important to many people in the state, but I wanted to address, I support the deletion because we need to address our relationship with the federal government.
No further question, Madam Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I've on the point that Representative Herron made regarding resource management decisions. The federal government is going to contact and involve the people of the Arctic, particularly those in Northwest Arctic Borough and in North Slope anyway, and I wonder if we could have a dialogue. Should that be included or excluded? By excluding it, it seems as though the federal government on those issues are going to go up there to the people of the North Slope, and they should, but they should as well consult the state of Alaska. So, to what are the other comments or issues from the commission members, whether that should be included or excluded, and the importance of including it?
Senator Cockell.
I tend to agree with him, and I just wonder, having not studied this as in depth, but down on line 24, which is 23, is important to the state as it relates to the Arctic support strategic recommendations, and that is not a subset of that conversation. It's another main point, and I think that makes that point. The subset to this is enhance the security of the Arctic region, and whereas the next subpoint is important for the state. So I think, you know, that conversation probably could be had, but it would back that up, that is for sure. And so, you know, I'm open to that discussion. But I think it's emphatically stated already, but if it's run through there, that's fine too.
Any thoughts, Representative Hare?
Madam Co-Chair, again, quite a vigorous and healthy debate in the Commission's proceedings, and what the model legislation that was provided, which became, of course, House Bill 1 or Senate Bill 16, is we did have that debate, but in my memory, it wasn't necessarily about coastal zone management. It was about others, which I think has been cemented by the actions of the Obama administration recently, is they do not necessarily agree that there should be state and indigenous people in the resource management decision making. And but again, this is not a deal breaker in this deletion, but I just wanted to make it a comment that, again, Arctic policy is about us dealing with the feds, right, not the internal debate that we tend to have within our borders. Our policy is the federal government and other international countries that live in the circumpolar, and of course all the countries that are observers at the Arctic Council.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. As I look at, as the senator from that district that was mentioned and most impacted by the decisions that are being made, the constituents that I represent and were elected by, I agree that we should be have that as part of what Senator Hoffman talked about.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Coghill.
So if you go to page one, we have intent language, so and I don't know how much importance that, because this is uncodified law, right? But the legislature finds that you know, the state, the entire state, into the residents of the state, the residents of the state. So if we're going to follow the intent, it probably is going to be important that we put it in the codified section. And so, you know, I would back that up.
Yeah. Senator Giesel.
I'm not 100% following this conversation.
Okay, so here's where we are. Oh, go ahead. So, I agree. So I just want to clarify for the record, because it became very nuanced. So page four, we're on line 20. If you're working, what we're doing, we're working from S draft as compared to I.A. Okay, so that's important. And if you're on S, you're going to be on lines 21 through 22, sub E. If you're on I.A, you're going to be on lines 23 through 25. Okay. What we're talking about here is the comparison between the old language said to encourage more effective integration of local and traditional knowledge into conventional science, research, and resource management decision-making. Okay, so that was it, resource management decision-making. The new draft has stricken resource management decision-making and instead reads simply to encourage more effective integration of local and traditional knowledge into conventional science and research. So that's the heart of it. And so Senator Hoffman is saying, I think it really ought to be integrated all the way into resource management decision making. And so you've heard the sponsor talk about his testimony on it, and that's where we are.
Okay, my apologies, Madam Chair. I did slip the discussion point on this. I was thinking about including the state in on that discussion, whereas this looks like strengthening a debate we've had within the state. So I think that's what the sponsor was referring to, and I just missed the whole deal, so my apologies.
So my question, I guess, to the manager, to the sponsor, how do we include it, and maybe not in this section, but making the point at the federal level, the state of Alaska needs to be consulted on resource management issues, and is it included anyplace else? But I think that that is so important to the development of resources and needs to be mentioned between having the state of Alaska at the table, because that was the whole message that we had when we went to Kotzebue.
Representative Herron and then Senator Giesel.
Through the co-chairs, Senator Hoffman. I guess it was what many of us repeated over and over to the Secretary Jewell in both private and public discussions is the national strategy for the Arctic region and the latest presidential executive order. They emphatically state that they will consult and have dialogue with the state of Alaska and Alaska Indigenous people. And so that's what I'm going on. That's in my memory in the commission meetings discussion is we have internal debate inside the borders about resource management decision making. But in my opinion, this is not a memo to self. It is a clear message that in our blue books, the feds will do what they said they're going to do. And so is it elsewhere in the codified section? No.
And Madam Chair,
and
that's the point. If we don't address it someplace, and maybe it needs to be included here or excluded and stated someplace else, but I know from the meetings that and the dialogue three times that I've had with Secretary Jewell, they are going to consult the Indigenous people on many different levels, and they are going to have a say on what happens. We, as a state, I feel from going up there and participating in these meetings, we want to be at the table along with everybody else. But if we don't state that, we know that the federal government they're going to be consulting the Indigenous people regarding resource development. For us to ignore that, I think, is a mistake. We need to be with them at the table, and the state of Alaska needs to be there as well. But if we want to exclude it, it seems to me it gives more empowerment to the Indigenous people when they're dealing with the federal government.
Senator Giesel. Thank you. I don't see that element being excluded at all. Again, on page lines 8 all the way through line 22. Is focused on value and strengthen resiliency, integrate culture knowledge, language knowledge. Each of those A, B, C, D all emphasize the seat at the table. C especially, integrated and strategic planning that considers scientific, local, and traditional knowledge. It's there. The key here is, again, coming from the industries that develop our resources, that to call it out in terms of management decision making raises concerns of the interpretation of that. And so when there's a question of interpretation, it's probably better to leave it more broad, though, again, as I said, in this section, lines 8 through 22, it's enumerated multiple times.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I guess I forgot to share with the committee on the subject that we're talking about now is page 3, lines 13, 14, and 15. And so we need to collaborate with all forms of government, tribes, industry, non-governmental organizations to be transparent and inclusive in Arctic decision-making. So I guess that I would say in the codified section, we do include all subjects. We learned a new phrase up in Kotzebue that was proffered, and Charlotte said it, is they have a new definition of non-governmental organizations that's called E-NGOs. And E-NGOs are not included in this section. Environmental non-government organizations.
Okay, any further discussion on this?
Well, no, just...
Yes, Senator Olson.
Madam Chairman, thank you. One of the things that we saw up there in, I guess in Kotzebue when we were having a meeting with the secretary was that if you don't consult the local people that are there, you don't get all the opinions. And one of the things that pointed out was that certainly the AFN retreat and the legislators were of one mindset, but there was an opposition that I was not totally prepared for with an answer for his opinion, and that has to do with the people that represent the people that are south of the Brooks Range, which was contrary to what the rest of us were trying to push on. And so having consulted the people, we will have an answer. For example, if we are put on the spot for one reason or another to opposing views that are out there.
Okay, Senator Bishop, you have an amendment that's in our packet. Does everybody have it? We'll call this amendment number one, and if you would go ahead and offer it and move it so that we could discuss it. Please.
Thank you, Madam President. Does everyone have a conceptual amendment in their package? I assume so. I'd like to offer conceptual amendment number one.
I'll object so we can hear it.
Conceptual amendment number one, I think, fits in the spirit of this entire document. As we heard just in the opening of this meeting here this morning, we heard from numerous indigenous people talk about the value of education and the ability to make a living in the Arctic. And this amendment, I think, goes a long way to doing that. Amendment G says, if I can read it into the record.
Yes, please.
Encourages a connection between the state, public, and private education systems with businesses, government, and labor to ensure that state residents are receiving workforce readiness skills throughout the education process. And we're doing that. We've been doing that already. But again, I think it's imperative that we say it in the bill to meet the spirit of the intent of the people that live in the Arctic, as they so eloquently testified to in this video that was presented to us. So, thank you.
Okay. Any discussion on the amendment,
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two points. Number one, we don't have any jurisdiction over private education systems. So I'm not sure how state government would have any role in encouraging one way or the other a private education system. Secondly, it calls out three entities here: business, government, and labor. As though labor were a specific entity, when 87% of our state is not a member of a labor union. It just seems odd to me to call out an organization like that. Certainly a connection between businesses. I'm not sure what government does in terms of workforce, other than we mandate certain workforce programs. We have multiple workforce plans in place right now. So I think this could be reworked to call out our continued work on workforce readiness and the connection between education and business. But I think it would take a little work to kind of clean that up. The concept is there.
So do you want me to answer your question?
Senator Bishop.
Through the chair, Senator Giesel. Labor doesn't imply organized labor, number one. Number two, private education is, as you said, we have training plans in the state now through the Department of Labor that encompasses public, private education systems to deliver a workforce. Number three, and we're not reinventing the wheel here, we've already got the delivery mechanisms in the state, and it's just further embedding that in this Arctic policy to, as again, I'll go back to the film, is to further make sure all Alaskans have the skills necessary to work in the Arctic.
What we could do is we could, what time is it now? We could reconvene. We could, you guys could work together. Let's take an Eddie's. Okay, we're back on the record, and we're going to go ahead and recess to the call of the chair and await a great amendment on the need for workforce development in the Arctic. And so we'll recess to the call of the chair.